Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Hang on, I'm checking my email. Everything seems in order. All right. Welcome to the Monday edition of the News Roundtable. Today, on the back half, we will talk with Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints about the asset transfer plan. Governor Pritzker is giving his State of the State and budget speech on Wednesday. And one of the things that he'll probably bring up is the idea to transfer assets from one part of the Illinois public system to pensions. He's put together a task force to study moving perhaps the lottery money to pensions, or perhaps the tollway system to pensions, or maybe even something as grand as Midway Airport to public pensions. WirePoints sees potentially problems with this idea, so we invited Ted Dabrowski on the show to discuss what this could possibly mean for pensions, for the states, for those assets. And we'll talk with Ted on the back half of the show. But first things first, in with the latest from the WTAD newsroom. Say good morning to Scott Hardy, everybody.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. And Quaid, Stamford Bridge.
Oh,
there you go.
Very good.
Thought that would help.
Soccer talk before the show.
Here we go. On this President's Day, most units of local government are closed, including Quincy City Hall and the Quincy and the City Central Services Department. They'll reopen on Tuesday. Quincy City Council meets tomorrow night. Also, no garbage and recycling pickup today. You'll need to set your garbage and recycling out on Tuesday. Crews will pick up both days' routes. City buses are operating on their regular schedule today. The Adams County Courthouse is also closed. Also closed include Hannibal, Keokuk City Halls, and most county courthouses in the listening area, and state government also closed for the day today. Major highways in the tri-state area are showing mostly clear this morning. Some secondary roads may still be covered by a layer of ice after the latest round of weekend weather. Of course, many area schools closed for President's Day today. Some had planned on using today to make up for earlier cancellations. Handful of those ran their routes on hard surface roads only, such as Canton R5, Clark County R1, Knox County R1 as well. Marion County R2 and Lewis County C1 decided to close today due to the conditions. Prep work is underway on 6 locks on the Illinois River, getting them ready to be shut down for repairs next year. RFD Illinois is reporting that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers plans to close the locks for repair and maintenance work, including the lock at LaGrange Lock and Dam. The lock and dam at LaGrange will be the farthest south that will see work. It's expected to be closed for up to 4 months for major maintenance and major rehab work. Most of the construction will be done between July 1st and October 31st, 2020, to avoid the spring and fall flooding season and the fall harvest. Several contracts for the work have already been awarded. No testimony planned for today in the first-degree murder trial of a Quincy man accused of fatally shooting another man in 2015. The murder trial of Stephen Gavin taking a break due to the courthouse being closed today for President's Day. The prosecution rested its case Friday morning after calling 2 witnesses. Pathologist Dr. Scott Denton testified that Carlos Wires was shot twice in the head and that either shot could be considered fatal. A former Illinois State Police fingerprint technician who was at the crime scene after the shooting testified that none of Gavin's prints or those of Wires or his wife were found there. That's after a Quincy Police Department technician testified Thursday that none of Gavin's DNA was found there either. Gavin's accused of fatally shooting Wires, then robbing him in his North 4th Street home in November 2015 in a disagreement over a drug sale. The jury could get the case by tomorrow afternoon. A Quincy woman has had her appeal of a 2016 conviction in Adams County of threatening a Quincy Police Department officer turned down. The 4th District Illinois Appellate Court ruled earlier this month against Tamara French, who is appealing her 2016 conviction on one count of threatening a public official. French was quoted as telling Officer Erica Scott during an arrest, quote, "Take that badge off and I'll beat the expletive out of you myself," quote. French's appeals lawyers argued that the threat didn't contain specific facts that indicated a unique threat to Officer Scott. They also said it was nothing more than a generalized threat of harm, not a unique threat as required by state law. At trial, Officer Scott had testified about the threat of future violence, saying, quote, "I do take my badge off at the end of my shift every day. I walk to my personal vehicle. There is definitely the possibility for something to happen," quote. French was sentenced to 2 years probation in that case. She was sentenced last December to 3 years in prison on one count of aggravated battery from a March 2018 incident. As part of a settlement with prosecutors in that case, a Class X charge of home invasion was dropped. Four candidates vying for seats on the Quincy Park District Board will meet in a candidates' forum later this week. The League of Women Voters has invited the public. They will be hosting that event. They invite the public to find out more about the four men running and to ask questions. Candidates Charles McLean, Nathan Ketters, Roger Lienerts, and Jeff Steinkamp will be questioned by a panel and then answer audience questions. That forum is set for Thursday night, 7 o'clock, at the First Christian Church at 1415 Main in Quincy. High speeds and slick road conditions are being blamed for a crash that sent two juveniles to Blessing Hospital. A pickoff, allegedly, the pickoff slid off Bonansinga Drive just north of Bob Banger Park around 10 a.m. Sunday morning. The two juveniles in the car at the time of the crash suffered minor to moderate injuries. Traffic was backed up while the vehicle was removed from a nearby creek. And two drivers were hurt in a two-vehicle crash on southbound U.S. Highway 61 early Sunday morning. According to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, that crash happened just after midnight about 2 miles north of New London when a minivan driven by 27-year-old Margaret Smith of New London hit the rear of a small pickup driven by 17-year-old Memphis Fulweiler of Hannibal. Smith's vehicle then ran off the road. She suffered serious injuries, while Fulweiler's injuries were moderate. Both were taken to Hannibal Regional Hospital. Smith was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the accident. She was also cited by the Missouri State Highway Patrol for DUI. More local news coming your way throughout the afternoon, so stay tuned for that. Of course, we'll keep you covered right here on WTAD, WTAD.com, and on our social media pages, including Twitter and Facebook.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. One thing that you have, what?
You looked like you had a question.
Well, what I'm noticing at WTAD.com is you have a couple of stories about the Jussie Smollett case that I haven't seen in other places, and that is the names of the two gentlemen who are connected with the attack and that they went to QU. You were talking about just personally with us in the hallways here Friday about this, and you've got the stories up. I haven't seen these guys named in other places, but you have the story online at WTAD.com.
They were named by a website out of Chicago. TMZ had the names last Friday. So they were cut loose by the Chicago PD last Friday night, and in fact, they have provided information that may make it seem now that Smollett may have orchestrated the whole thing and paid them, the two brothers, to aid in the attack. That's the theory right now. Nothing's been proven, no charges have been brought, but that's the prevailing theory right now.
And these two went to QU and played football.
Yes, from about 2010 through, they played through the 2013 season, both left school in May 2014.
All right, thank you very much, sir. It's 10:15, we'll take a break, and when we come back, Ted Dabrowski? All right, I'm getting the nod. Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com will join us next on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we welcome back to the show in his assigned seat at the News Roundtable, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Clay. Thanks for having me today.
Governor Pritzker is giving his State of the State and budget address on Wednesday. He's put together a task force to try and figure out what to do with pensions. One of the areas that he has put together a task for is about asset transfers. And going through the idea of pensions, we kind of blew past the asset transfer section, although it did seem interesting, you know, to have the lottery or the tollway system all of a sudden have that money flow to pensions. The initial question was, well, isn't that money already spoken for, and what's going to take the place of that money, and isn't this just a shell game? And then I noticed a couple of days later, your cohort, Mark Glennon, put together a more thorough piece on asset transfers and essentially confirmed that, yeah, it is kind of just a shell game, especially when it comes to the state's money.
Yeah, Mark's piece was, a great piece capturing the essence of what this asset transfer idea is. And really what it is, it's a desperation play by the government. Tax hikes are going to get harder and harder to do. Borrowing is going to get harder and harder to do, and so they're looking for other games they can play. And if they can hoodwink us into thinking they can take our public assets, right? Everybody who's listening, it's your assets, whether it's a public park, a public building, whether it's the lottery, the tollway, those are all public assets. And these guys want us to think that they can just take those and plug them into the pension plans and act like things are fixed when all they've done is taken some of our assets from one pocket and put it in the other. So it's very important that we talk about this, because it is just another way of corrupting the system that we have today.
Wouldn't for it to be a net gain, wouldn't we have to sell those assets to an outside party, another state, a private company, something like that, to infuse new money into our system?
Yeah, you could move something of value into the pension plan. But, if the pension plan has a building in it, at some point it'd have to sell it. If it has a tollway, if it needs to generate cash, because that's the problem with our pension plans, is they don't have enough money. So at some point, what are they going to do? Are they going to sell the lottery for a profit maybe? Will the lottery continue to be valuable if we're adding all kinds of new gaming, for example? Maybe the lottery assets will go down in value. It might hurt the pension fund. There's so many open questions as to how this would work. That it defies the practicality of this ever happening.
One of the things that jumps up, and as I'm thinking about this as you're explaining it, is the value of these assets, and that's always been a problem as far as, especially when it comes to public things. The Thompson Center being the first one that jumps to mind. You can't ever actually sell the Thompson Center, because then there's an actual value to it, and you can't use it over and over again to plug a hole in the budget. Is potentially that the idea for the lottery, for the tollway system, for Midway Airport, is to have its value expand based on whatever number you need to make it look good at the bottom of the pension balance?
Well, see, and that's precisely the point. We already saw what happened with the parking meter deal. You really don't know the value of these assets, and if you start trusting our government officials, and we've seen what a mess they've made both in Illinois at the Illinois state level and at the Chicago level. If we start trusting, these guys to start moving assets around and changing the valuations, the games they can play are limitless. And, who manages those assets? So if you transfer the tollway into the pension fund, are you saying that the pension managers are going to manage a tollway? No way. But if they keep the tollway at the government and let the pension plan own the value, well, then you're going to have all kinds of games going on between the state and the pension funds. It just opens itself up to huge amounts of the corruption that we know so well exists in the state.
In Glennon's piece, he mentions that this happens in the private sector, and that that's probably where the Illinois government is looking to, saying, hey, look, this is done in the private sector. But the first thing that jumps to my mind is, when you're essentially overvaluing things, is Enron. When you inflate them beyond what they actually are, at some point in time, you have to get to a place where make-believe goes away and real is real. Are we going to end up at a place where the state of Illinois has assets that actually don't mean anything beyond what they say they're worth?
Well, don't we already have that, right? So, I think the big danger is that they're going to try to trick us. If there's some building in whatever city and they want to transfer it into the pension plan, well, what's it worth today? It shouldn't suddenly jump up in value just because you move it into the pension plan, right? And if it's worth that much today, well, then that was the worth that the public owned to begin with. So, we can't create value out of nothing. And I think also we can't expect our pension plans to to suddenly become expert managers at complex assets. You know, they have a hard enough time managing bonds and equities, much less trying to add something like a tollway or a lottery. So I think it's just another desperate attempt, and I think the public and the listeners on this show should know that and push back in any way they can.
One of the things that Mark gets to in this piece is, okay, you want to do an asset transfer. Sure, that's fine. Put a defined value on it, but use it as leverage to get something done on the other end and kind of redo how pensions are done in this state. Is that something that you think this administration is looking into, and eventually it's going to have to be done?
Well, you know, it's the right – if you're going to give something of value to the pension funds, and we know that the pension funds are bankrupting us, we've overpromised these benefits for decades. If that's the case and we're going to put something of value, let's say Pritzker and team, they should be negotiating like crazy to get something of value back for the taxpayer, right? Because it's the taxpayer's assets they're putting into the pension plan. You know, get a reform, change the COLAs, change the plans into 401k style plans going forward. Something, but not just sticking taxpayer assets into a bottomless pit that just continues to go downhill.
Yeah, you mentioned a bottomless pit. I circled that and actually wrote black hole because ultimately
black hole is the right term. You're right.
It just keeps sucking more and more in. But if you can figure out a way to close that black hole, or at least at the beginning make it smaller, then it won't keep sucking more and more, because eventually you'll have nothing left.
Well, you know, we've written a lot about that at WirePoints. You know, we as a state, taxpayers keep putting in billions and billions and billions more and more and more into the pension plans. And yet, you know, with the booming stock market, with huge amounts of new contributions by taxpayers, every year everything gets it doesn't stay flat. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And that's what I think the black hole is a great example of that. So putting more public assets, which is just transferring from one pocket to the other, that doesn't solve the problem. And so Mark is right. You know, we've got to use the leverage we have with the funds. They're in a weak position, and we should say we can do this if we get that. And what we should be demanding should be huge things, because taxpayers are already leaving. They don't have to stick around. And if they continue to see bad deals, corrupt deals like these asset transfers, we'll keep losing more and more of them. And we're just in that. We need a new example. Black hole was that example. Now this one would just be a death spiral.
And also it would set a precedent, and I'm going to bring this back around because it's something that we've heard previously from the Chicago Teachers Union. They're essentially demanding assets from stuff that hasn't even been created yet, a la a casino in Chicago. If you set a precedent towards assets going towards pensions, you're going to have other pension groups saying, okay, now we want X, Y, and Z to come to us as the new way Illinois does stuff.
Well, yeah, I think you'll see it's going to be a grab. It's going to be an asset grab, and we keep forgetting that these are public assets. They're not assets of the pension funds. It's not assets of the government. They're assets of the people. And if you start creating this precedent, you're right. We'll continue to lose assets of the public, and they'll be stuck in a corrupt, bankrupt pension plan. And it's going to be the question: what's left for the ordinary Illinoian? Why stick around? Why continue to support this kind of bad behavior? And, of course, that just gets even more people leaving the state.
On Wednesday, can we expect, at least on some level, Governor Pritzker to acknowledge how bad things are pension-wise and to address it in a logical way? Because if you can't address that Illinois is functionally broken, then you can't set about to actually fix the problem. If you want to play the shell game, the transparency is never going to be addressed actually. And I know he's going to use that word multiple times on Wednesday.
You know, I think he's in trouble because he's got, you know, his team out there already saying things that are desperate. Not only are they talking about the asset transfers, but Dan Hines, the deputy governor, is talking about, you know, extending the debt another 7 years. So in other words, just kick the can down the road even more, right? So he makes a complaint that we've got too much pressure already. So his solution then is to push the problem even further down the road, which makes it even worse. He's also talking about borrowing these pension obligation bonds. Again, not a big amount, but just again, borrowing to solve a debt problem. That doesn't make any sense. And I kind of make this asset transfer kind of like me telling my wife that I just solved our debt problem and I sold her car. You know, I just took her car and just sold it. That she wouldn't be very happy with that. She wouldn't have a way to get to work. And but you know, in the end, I'm acting like I solved the problem. It's not. These are desperate moves they're making.
When we talk about the public sector, very quickly, because I know we're short on time, when we talk about the public sector, ultimately, in Enron's magical imaginary bubble, people went to jail. Is that something that at some point in time Illinoisans could get upset enough, or when we realize that this is actually broken, somebody could end up on the wrong side of the law?
Yeah, I think, sorry about that. I think something has to happen, right? If you look at this pension debt, and we've been talking about this a lot, you know, we have $134 billion, some massive number, $234 billion if you listen to the rating agencies. There's another problem with retiree health care debt, $73 billion. These liabilities, these debts have been amassed, and now they're saying the taxpayers are on the hook. Well, were these things done legally? How do they grow so much, and who approved them? And how often are they you know, blessed by the government when they increase these debts? I don't understand it. I don't see it happening. I don't see the approval of these massive debts happening every year. And yet here we are, one notch away from bankruptcy, and being forced to start selling assets as if we're some bankrupt third world country. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just a poor country.
Ted Dabrowski, you're always welcome on the News Roundtable. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
That is the Monday edition of the News Roundtable. We would encourage you to check out Mark Glennon's piece at wirepoints.com. Asset transfers to pensions. Be afraid. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.